Great. Do grab a seat. If you didn't know, you've actually come to the gym today. This is not just a church. This is the Some Value Gym. It's called the Some Value Gym. And if those who are keen to exercise at the gym could come up, kids, you're very welcome to come up to the front as well. Lizzie, would you be able to read the motto of our gym for us? Is that all right? I haven't primed you, but it's in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll get it open here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And this is the slogan of our gym. We've thought long and hard. We've got a focus group together about what our gym should focus on. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Is it going to come up on the screen as well? No, it's all right. Just it's on page... What page is it on?
So it's in page...
1193.
Yeah, thanks, thank you. 1193 of your Bibles, thank you.
Someone's on it. Great.
So, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come.
Brilliant. Thank you. We'll put that down for now. That's the motto of our gym. And let's do a bit of exercise. We're here to do some physical training. So, kids, if you want to get up on your feet, we're going to do some training. Lizzie's doing some squats over there in the corner. So can we all do a bit of a few star jumps? Katie, you're sitting down. This isn't what we do in the gym, Katie. Right, and a bit of running on the spot. That's good. Really good. Oh, very good. So good at running on the spot. William, what do you like doing when you're doing some exercise? You do the park run, don't you?
Yeah, but...
Brilliant. Can anyone do push-ups? Should we try and do some push-ups? Oh, it's difficult, isn't it? Right, oh, it's difficult. I think it's not very good for my microphone, is what it's sounding like. Fantastic, and how high can we all jump? One, two, three, jump! Oh, fantastic, brilliant. Oh, very good. It's a good bit of physical training we've done there. Do sit down on the floor. I think we're a little bit tired there. I'm gonna come and ask some people what they do for physical training. So, Lizzie, what are you training for at the moment?
So, I'm currently training for the Cambridge Half Marathon.
Oh, great. Do you want to come over here? Sorry.
That's happening in 3 weeks today.
3 weeks today?
Yeah.
And how's your training going?
Okay.
Okay.
Slower than I would want to be running, but injury-free at the minute, so that's a good sign.
Great. And is your training hard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but I think training, particularly in the winter, can be quite challenging.
Mm.
And I think at the point in my training now where I'm having to run quite long distances, so for example, tomorrow I've got to do a 19-kilometre run when I finish work.
19-kilometre? So how far is that in miles for those who work in old money?
It is about 12 miles.
12 miles.
So the prospects of doing that after a day at work... In the cold,
in the dark,
possibly in the rain, can be hard at times.
Well, sounds like good fun.
Yeah.
Will it all be worth it when you get to the half marathon?
I very much hope so. And I'm choosing to do it. And I think what the sense of achievement and the reward and the enjoyment that you get from doing it is worth it in the end.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Sergey, what do you do training for?
I do play squash and football, and I really enjoy it.
You really enjoy it?
Yes.
That's great. And how do you train? What do you actually do?
I have to regularly train, and I have to go and practice.
Practice. It doesn't happen immediately. It takes time.
It is.
Oh, great. Thanks very much. And would you say your training is worth it as well?
Yes, it is worth it. It keeps me fit, and I have a positive feedback from it.
Amazing. Thank you very much. Guys, do feel free to go and sit down. Thanks very much for your help. I'm going to turn this microphone off and pop it down there. So what have you just seen there from Lizzie? And do you want to try and pick it up, William? I think they picked you up, didn't they? Hey, well done. Very good. Let's make sure you don't drop it on your foot. Your mum and dad would not be happy with me for that. Wonderful. So what we've seen there is physical training is good. Can we do that all together? One big thumb up. Physical training is good. It says so in the Bible. I bet you didn't know that when you came to church this morning. in the Bible, it says that exercise is good. And earlier in the same chapter, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, it says everything God created is good. So all, and God created all kinds of exercise. So running and swimming and cycling and Zumba and dance and Pilates and yoga, they're all good. Welcome team, I think there are some people trying to get in the door at the back, if you want to come and open it for them. So all of those things are good because God created them. Christians, we're not super spiritual beings who only care about our minds and our hearts and everything that's going on inside. We care about our bodies. Our bodies are really, really important. They matter. And so we think that physical training is good. So if you like doing physical training, go for it. Enjoy it. Enjoy everything that you do when you do physical training. It might not be for everyone, that's true. Some people might have aches and pains or illnesses that stop us being able to do physical training. Some people might have, let's just say, several years of life experience, and that would mean that it's a little bit harder to do physical exercise. But if you enjoy it, if you like doing physical training, go for it. It really has some value. Let's read that verse again. Physical training is of some value. It's worth doing. It's not a command. Paul's not saying you must do it, but he's saying that if you do like it, go for it, enjoy it. And it also says in verse 4, everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. So it's a command to be thankful to God. Next time you break out a sweat in the dance studio, next time you're at park run, next time you're lifting some of these really heavy weights in your front room, next time you're playing football or tennis or squash, thank God for it. Thank God for a body that enables you to do that. And thank God for the good feeling you get when you do exercise. So I wondered if we could ask, who here enjoys doing physical exercise?
Me.
Does anyone want to tell us what they like, enjoy, what they enjoy doing?
What do you enjoy,
George? Do you want to tell the microphone?
Cycling.
Great. William, what do you enjoy doing?
Playing football.
Anyone else? Rob and Jean? Oh, what do you enjoy doing?
Cycling
as well. Rob and Jean, what do you like doing?
We enjoy walking and we think it's really important, even though we're getting slightly older in years and life experience, to keep at it, even though sometimes it wears us out and it's not easy. We think it's important to keep at it.
Fantastic. Thank you. Anyone else want to share what they enjoy doing?
Math.
Yeah. What do you enjoy doing?
We enjoy dancing.
You enjoy dancing. Gee, that's very exciting. It's a great way of doing exercise. And it's worth doing. And it's something that we can thank God for. Sorry, I'll step back into the live stream camera. It's something that we can enjoy doing and receive with thanksgiving. So physical training is good. Can we all do that together? Physical training is good. Right, after all that, I'm a little bit exhausted, so I think I just want to stand still for a little bit. And the best way to stand is to stand amazed. So we're going to sing a song now, which is called I Stand Amazed. And the chorus says, how marvellous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. It's a slightly old way of putting it, but it's basically saying, Jesus is amazing. So let's sing this song together now. Great, do take a seat, everyone. So we've just seen that physical training is good. Can we do that together? Physical training is good. And the second thing is, keep one thumb up, training in godliness is better. Two thumbs up. I've got something under my arm, so I can't do it very well. Physical training is good. Training in godliness is better. I'm going to read that verse again, the motto of our gym. And it says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. But what does that mean? What is godliness? Well, we might think that it's being like God. It sounds like that. It sounds like being godly would mean being like God. But I don't think that is what it means, because God is so many things that we can't be. God is all powerful, and we can't be all powerful. God is eternal, and we can't be eternal. God is the judge between good and evil. That's what he is, and we can't be that either. So godliness isn't being like God. Godliness is belief in action. Godliness is belief in action, living God's way, and it is seen in our character, seen in the way that we live. So, but where does godliness come from? Well, it comes from the good news about Jesus. Let me read verse 7 to you again. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. So, that little word, rather, that tells us that there's a difference. So there's godless myths and old wives' tales. That's basically nonsense talk, rubbish, just things that mean nothing. And godliness, on the other hand. So you've got to have nothing to do with this meaningless talk that was a real problem for Timothy and his church. But instead, we train ourselves to be godly. We've got to move away from meaningless talk, stay away from nonsense, and listen to the good news about Jesus. That's how we become godly. In chapter 3, verse 16, which Charlie was showing us last week, it says, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. And then it talks all about Jesus. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. The mystery from which true godliness springs is the good news about Jesus. Knowing all about who he is and what he's done, that is going to tell us how to be godly. So the Bible, can everyone hold up their Bible? This isn't just an old book that doesn't mean anything. This is the training manual for how to be godly. This is our training plan, our workout plan for how to be godly, how to live a life that pleases God, how to have belief in action. And we don't do it so that we're saved. We do it because we're saved. Do you remember a few weeks ago we saw Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? He came to save us when we were completely ungodly, when we were sinners, when we'd done so many things wrong. And so we live godly lives because he has already saved us. Imagine this with me now. Imagine you're crossing a road and you trip up and you fall over in the middle of the road, and it's a really busy road and there are cars coming from all directions and you're really scared and a car is coming right at you. And someone picks you up, maybe it's your mum or your dad, and they pick you up and they run over to the other side of the road and put you down safely. And so you're safe. What would you do? I think you'd be really thankful to them for saving you. You'd be so grateful for them for picking you up out in the middle of the road, wouldn't you? And so I think you'd give them a big hug and maybe try and do things that make them happy and say thank you and try and live the way that they would like you to, because they've saved you. And it's like that with Jesus, only so much bigger, because Jesus has saved us from so much more. Jesus has saved us from sin and from death and all the powers of evil. Okay, so that is what godliness is. But why is godliness better? Lizzie, I'm just going to shout to you rather than getting the microphone. You're training for the half marathon. In 100 years' time, what difference is that going to make to you?
Not a lot, or probably no difference, to be honest.
Not a lot, or probably no difference.
I don't think I'll be still running.
You don't think you'll still be running in 100 years' time?
Or even still here.
Oh, well, I think I won't be either, to be honest. You're struggling there, George. You might want to be careful there, because they're quite heavy. Good stuff. Right. Yeah, I think I agree with Lizzie. I think in 100 years' time, we won't still be running. Very good. I'm impressed. Do you want to leave that there for a minute? Yeah, great. I think in 100 years' time, all our physical training isn't actually going to make a difference. I've got a little table here. Type of training, physical training and godliness. Does it have value now? Yes, physical training has value now. And godliness has value now. It says so in the verse. Holding promise for both the present life, but the difference is godliness holds promise for the life to come as well. Physical training, not really. In 100 years' time, when we're in heaven, we're not going to have these bodies. We're going to have new bodies, resurrection bodies that are better. And all of our training, I don't think it's going to make a difference. We're not going to we're not going to have to train to be able to live our body, have our bodies really strong and powerful. We're going to have new bodies, imperishable bodies. And so physical training is good, but it doesn't last forever. So I wonder if anyone knows who this is. Anyone know? Who did you say that was? Did you say Sarah? Sarah's my wife. That's not Sarah. Pharaoh, sorry. Oh, it could be Pharaoh. Anyone else know? Show? I heard The Rock and Dwayne Johnson. They're both correct. This is Dwayne Johnson. He's a former wrestler who is known as The Rock. I think he'd be a great guy to play Pharaoh in a dramatization of Exodus. That'd be brilliant. Good idea, George. But I reckon he is probably one of the best examples of physical training that we can see in this world. And kids, do you want to come up to the front? We're going to try something now. We're going to try and replicate Dwayne Johnson's leg day. We'll because he's a very strong guy. We're going to do it bit by bit. So everyone's going to do one. We're going to do leg day, William. So we're not going to use the weights. If I can just take those and just pop them right at the back of the mat. Thank you, William. That's all right. You can leave it there. You can leave it there. So, who wants to do some running? Anyone want to do some running? Okay, do you want to start? Let's all do it together. Let's run. So, Dwayne Johnson starts his leg day by running on a treadmill for 30 to 50 minutes. We're not going to do it for 30 to 50 minutes, otherwise we'd be here for 30 to 50 minutes, and we don't have time. And then what Dwayne Johnson does is he eats breakfast. Roy, here's your breakfast. There we go. That's what he does after that. And then Dwayne Johnson does a barbell walking lunge. So I think that means when he's got a big set of weights on his back. So imagine we've got a big set of weights on our back. Hold up your arms like this. And then crouch down. And then sort of walking forwards while you crouch down. Very good. He does that with a very heavy weight. It's probably almost as if he had one of you on his back. Maybe even two or three of you on his back. And then what he does is a leg press. So we lie down on the floor. I'm going to hope this doesn't damage the microphone. And he gets his legs and he pushes them up. There we go. But he does that with a load of weights on his legs. Then he does an awful lot of things that I don't know what they are. Anyone know what a single leg hack squat is?
No.
No, me neither. Do you know what a single leg hack squat is?
A single leg is you're doing a squat but with one leg.
Oh, should we try that? That's a squat with one leg. So get on one leg, balance on one leg, and bend down really low. Oh, it's very difficult. It's very hard.
Oh,
very nice. What about a Romanian deadlift? Gina, do you know what a Romanian deadlift is? No, and Gina's from Romania, so who knows? He does a thigh abductor, a hack squat, a seated leg curl. Do you know what any of those are? A leg curl is when you do this. Okay. So that looks more like ballet to me, but let's give that a go. Brilliant. He does about 100 of each of those by the looks of things. All that, and it only has value for the present life. Great, thanks guys. You can go and take a seat now. Actually, you can sit down where you are if you want. So isn't it amazing that if we train ourselves in godliness, we're doing something that's more valuable than all of that effort that Dwayne Johnson puts in? Can you think about that? I sort of look at his workout and think, that's amazing. I could never do anything like that. I'm just a little bit lazy and just like sitting on the sofa. But if I train myself in godliness, I'm doing something that's more valuable, more important than any of that. And the reason is, godliness holds promise for both the future life, for both the present life and the future life. Yes? Yeah, that's the little table that shows us that godliness has value for both now and forever. And what it means when it says it holds promise is it means it gives us good things, even though we might not see them now, even though we might doubt it. And the way godliness holds promise now is if we live a godly life, if we live God's way, it's the best life for us. God doesn't just tell us the way to live because he wants to be bossy. God tells us the best way to live because he knows what's good. We trust God and we know that his way is not just right, but it's good for us. And it's good for other people too. And it's the best way to live. It brings us into a closer relationship with him. And then it says it holds promise for the future life. Now, I wonder what you think about this. Maybe our godliness will bring other people to heaven. Maybe that's the promise. Maybe the way we live will be attractive to other people and they'll want to know Jesus too. Well, maybe if we're godly now, the experience of heaven will be more joyful for us. That's maybe something for adults to talk about over coffee. In what way does godliness now bring promise for heaven? It's very clear, one thing is that godliness doesn't earn us our place in heaven. We're saved already. We're saved by grace, saved by what Jesus has done. But living a godly life now will bring good things, not only now, but forever. Godliness holds promise both for the present life and the life to come. We're going to sing again in a minute, but let's just remember those two things. Physical training is good. One thumb up, everyone. Training in godliness is better. Great. We're going to sing a new song now that you might not have heard before, but it's based on just these verses. It's called Practice Being Godly, and it tells us how much being godly is more valuable than all kinds of physical training. So over to the band to lead us in that. Great, thanks, band. Do take a seat. So the thing is with training is that it's really hard work. Training is not just something that you wake up one... When you're training for something, you don't just wake up one morning and do it. As we saw with Lizzie, sort of, she was saying earlier, you don't just wake up one morning and decide, I think I'll run a half marathon today. You got to practice, you got to train. We've got some people in our church who recently cycled from Land's End to John O'Groats, and I think a lot of people earlier said they really enjoy cycling. If you want to do a big cycle, you don't just wake up one morning and go, I might do a massive cycle the length of the country today. That you train for it, you do little bits, and then as you do little bits, more and more, you get better at it, and you're able to do more. It's the same with weights. William, you were trying to lift those weights earlier. If you lift little weights for a little bit, eventually, you might be able to lift that big weight. But if you start with the big weight, it's never going to work. If you lift little weights gradually, eventually, you might even be able to lift the tech desk into church on a Sunday morning. I know that's quite heavy. And it's the same principle with godliness. We don't just become godly overnight. We still struggle with sin when we're a Christian. Let me talk to those of us who aren't Christians here today. If you think that Christians are just good people who've decided to live a good life and just go for it, just do it, that's not quite true. Christians are still sinful. Christians still get things wrong. I still get things wrong. And we all do here. But we're trying to be godly, and we train ourselves to do it more and more. And we can only do it because the Holy Spirit lives in us. It's like a personal trainer he's like a personal trainer who lives in us, helping us to be godly, giving us the motivation to train ourselves. Without the Holy Spirit, we'll never manage it. But with him, we have the motivation, and by his power, we can achieve something. So I've got this idea this morning of a godliness workout. If godliness is training, then the principle that... Oh, sorry, there's our half marathon and there's our weights. The principle of training applies to godliness too, like lifting little weights so that one day you can lift a big weight. If we're godly in little ways now, we can have godliness in big ways later. So if we're godly in little ways now, we can be godly in big ways later. And I've got a few examples of how this might work, of what this might mean. Let me find my notes. I've got four examples of how we can be godly in little ways and how this can help us train to be godly in big ways later. So the first one is obedience. Just careful that we don't have anyone tripping over wires here. So the first one is obedience. We know God wants us to obey our parents, right? I know it's hard sometimes, but God really loves it when we obey our parents. And if we do that when we're in a good mood, when we're really happy, when life's going well, and our parents ask us to do something small, if we do that, then that's like training. That's a little bit of training, and we'll get better at it. And then on the days when we're tired or grumpy or hungry, then it'll be easier to do it then because we've trained. And God loves it when we obey our parents. God loves it when we do that. And so let's train ourselves by doing it when it's easy so that we can do it when it's hard. Okay, what about another one? What about this? What about honesty? We know that God loves it when we tell the truth. God doesn't want us to lie to people. So why don't we practice telling the truth to people who we're close to, people who we're comfortable with? And then eventually, as we get used to doing that, as telling the truth becomes something natural that we do, something we've trained ourselves in, yeah, we'll be able to tell the truth to people who we don't know so well, like our teachers, or maybe our boss if we're at work, or friends who we're a little bit less close with. Okay, what about this? What about prayer? If we practice lifting up our requests to God when they're little requests, like, God, please help me with my homework, or God, please help me find my keys, or God, please help me decide what to have for dinner. If we lift up those little things to God, we'll get better and better at praying, and we'll find it easier and more natural to lift up the big things to God, like decisions about where to live, or what job to do, or help, asking God for help to tell our friends about Jesus. If we pray little things every day, practice doing it all the time, we'll be able to pray big things. We'll be able to lift up big things to God. Okay, what about this? This one's probably a little bit more for the adults. What about purity? If we practice living a pure life by not looking at images or videos or looking at other people in ways we shouldn't look, well, that will train us. That will train our minds and our hearts to eventually be able to say no to temptation when it comes, whether we're married or single, when the temptation comes to cross the line with someone we're not married to. We train ourselves, we'll be able to resist the temptation later. We practice being godly, doing it in little ways, so that later we can do it in big ways. Let me just say one thing. This is all written to Timothy, who is a church leader. So I think this is really important for those of us who are in leadership, who are elders in our church, who are life group leaders, who are youth leaders, for Charlie, our pastor, for me on the staff, for those of us who run kids groups or youth groups, who lead our families. We need to practice being godly too. This isn't just for new Christians or younger Christians. This is for the people in leadership, the people who have really important roles in the church. We can do all we want in study and learning and trying to do our jobs as best we can. But the primary thing we need to do is be godly. And we need to practice that in little ways so we can eventually do it in big ways. Two final things to remember. We do this because of Jesus. Jesus has already saved us. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we try and be godly because we are already saved by him. And we do it with the help of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us like us, like our personal trainer, spurring us on, giving us the motivation to live a godly life. And so that's the way we do it. That's how we live godly lives. Let me read those verses again as we close. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. God's done so much for us. Let's live for him. Let's live in gratitude and live a godly life and train ourselves to do that. Let me pray as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you that physical training is good. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for the different forms of exercise that we enjoy that we were talking about earlier. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him saving us while we're still sinners. Thank you for the wonderful news of his grace. Please will you help us to train ourselves to be godly. Please give us the Holy Spirit more and more in our hearts to train us as our personal trainer, helping us to live a godly life. And Lord God, will you give us the motivation to train ourselves to be godly? Help us to keep going back to the good news about Jesus and to live godly lives in little ways now so that we can do it in big ways later. Amen.